Are we ready, Rob?
Radio.
I don't know if you're ready, Rob.
Crank it up, Dr. Dre, man. Crank it up.
I think we'll do something a little different, Rob. Let's do something a little different here. Let's have some fun here.
Time to get crunk.
Oh.
Let's switch it up for Rob.
Oh. Oh yeah.
Okay.
My fellow
okay.
Hoot ass
okay.
Know about that.
Oh.
Even though we lost, we still gonna get crunk, baby.
What? Stand up, Rob. Here we go.
Oh yeah.
I love it, bro. I like it. That's pretty cool. So we do talking sports with the 12th man. You are officially in the movement. We're having some fun here. Today, of course, is Tuesday, October the 15th. Talking sports with the 12th man is officially kicking off. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host Robert Ford. I got to check in with my co-host to check in how he's doing. We're still in the game. You're not sacking us. You're not booing us. That's what we do. Rob, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. We got some big-time football to talk about tonight. What about you,
man,
Dr. Dre?
Hey, man, like I said, no complaints. Let's go ahead and kind of set the stage as we always do every single day, every single time, Tuesday. And just to kind of let you know, like I said, we're going to throw the numbers out for you to call and kind of share your thoughts. Tell us how you're doing, what you think about the show. We always invite you to do that. The number to call in is 424-243-9519. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at 12th Man Sports. That's the number 12, THMAN Sports. And we're also on Facebook. So if you want to find us, just go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man in search, you'll be able to find us with that too. So, man, without further ado, I know that was kind of long, but let's go ahead and jump right in it, Rob. I appreciate you always doing a good job of coming up with some topics. And Monday Night Football, we just had it, obviously. And the Chargers, they pulled out a nice little upset. I think it was an upset for the Colts. The Colts were playing well. They ended up beating the Seahawks. And then, the Chargers come in there and kind of figured out a way to beat the Colts, right? And I guess, did they figure out an inside secret how to do this, Rob? Or what are your thoughts about the game?
Well, I mean, it didn't really take a rocket scientist or a scientific rocket, if you're watching the game last night, to figure out what the Chargers' plan was. And it actually worked. I don't know if every team can make the strategy work. But, I think when you look at it, the Chargers tried to play keep away as much as possible. They went to more ball control offense to try to keep Andrew Luck and the Colts' offense off the field as much as possible. And, they were able to, get a lead, which caused them to be able to, get the pass rush on and pin the ears back and get after Luck a little bit. And so I think the objective going into the game was to really be physical, play more ball control. Let's see if we can control the clock. Let's see if we can keep Andrew Luck and that Colts offense off the field. And they were able to do that last night and did a masterful job.
So, like you said, most teams can't be able to do that. Obviously, it seems like the league is changing from a passing league or from a running league into more of a passing league, too. So, like you said, that ball control offense, maybe that'll definitely spark some things. If you have very explosive offenses, you'll figure out a way to kind of slow down the team by, definitely trying to play keep away. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, and for some teams, it's going to be able to work. I just think, it's going to vary. Some teams, that philosophy, if you got a good defense that can get, a team off the field, teams that are trying to play keep away, all you need is a good defense to stop that team three and out and get the ball back to your offense. But teams that maybe have weak defensive lines that are being able to be controlled at the line of scrimmage, then you can keep that offense off the field, if you understand what I'm saying. So And the Colts situation, they couldn't get the Chargers off. The Colts defense couldn't get the Chargers off the field, which in return hurt the Colts offense as well.
Yeah, it was very surprising because if you would have told me that the Chargers would have played that strategy, Rob, I don't think I would have believed you because, you know, they're used to kind of throwing it around the field. Phillip Rivers has a big arm. You got to give the coaching staff a lot of credit as far as making the adjustments. You know, obviously the Colts are playing at home. They probably felt pretty ecstatic after a really good victory over the Seattle Seahawks. So just the master job coaching. So you got to give them job. Got to give them a big shout out to the coaching staff and Chargers for actually being able to pull it off.
Yeah, and you know, I tell you what, the Chargers doesn't really have an elite running game, but Ryan Matthews may have his best game as a pro last night. And so it actually worked, which is kind of surprising. You don't think the Chargers have the running backs or the personnel to be able to play keep away, but it worked for them last night.
Very impressive. That's what we do. So we're going to keep moving. Let's kind of go to our next topic. You know, obviously we had a lot of different teams over the weekend, a lot of good games. We're going to definitely talk about our top five NFL teams. I know, in fact, that, you know, you guys were trying to stay undefeated, but that was not able to happen. But I'm sure you still got yourself in the top five. So let's go ahead and I'll let you start off, Rob, and give your top five teams for the NFL.
Well, I'm going to go right now as far as top five in the NFL. A bit of a surprise. Everybody's got the Broncos number one, but I'm going to put the Chiefs number one this week. And here's my thinking on this process. The Chiefs are not turning the ball on offense. Alex Smith is running the offense, you know, without turning the ball over, not making any mistakes, not doing anything fantastic, but they're methodical in their approach. And they're also running the ball effectively with Jamal Charles. But their defense has been phenomenal. And, you know, teams are having trouble scoring on them. And so I'm going to give the Chiefs the nod here. I'm going to put Denver number two. And my concern with Denver is still their defense. Yes, they're able to score points. But are they going to be able to do that against a defense when they're, you know, a good defense to slow them down? And can their defense stop an elite offense? And so that's becoming a little bit more concerning for the Broncos, in my opinion. I know you're getting Von Miller back here, so maybe that helped the defense out a little bit. But right now, I'm flipping. I've got the Chiefs one, the Broncos at the number two position. They, you know, Broncos, of course, still has the most electrifying offense in the league. There's still no doubt about that. So I'm going to keep them at the number two position. Seattle, I moved them back up to number three. They got a home win over Tennessee this past week. Still playing good football. They're still tough to beat in their own stadium. Right now, I have Seattle number three. I moved the Patriots up to number four with their win over the Saints. Practically last play of the game. And, you know, you can't give Tom Brady that many chances. And it showed up there in the game, gave him three tries as a chance to win the game. And the third time was a charm for the Patriots, unfortunately, for the Saints. And right now I move the Saints down number five with the loss in the last minute and seconds of the game. And so I move the Saints down to number five. That is my top five.
Very interesting. I think we have the same teams like we talked about, but just a little bit different order. I am still going to keep the Broncos at number one. Like I said, there's a couple of teams that I don't trust certain quarterbacks in certain instances. That's kind of how I feel with the Chiefs right now. I think that I agree with you that they are playing phenomenal. Alex Smith is not making any mistakes. The same thing that you talked about, the challenges with the Broncos, I definitely think the same challenge could apply to the Chiefs because, you know, right now, Alex Smith is getting away with a lot of short passes. He's not turning the ball over. But you do have to wonder, you know, if the team start figuring out a way how to play him, they kind of, you know, shorten that up. Does he have the arm strength to kind of push the field, go a little vertical? So that's something that they're definitely going to challenge him in the playoffs, I think. But, you know, like I said, right now you've seen teams win with defense only. If you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens, they won with a dominant defense and a quarterback that didn't make any mistakes with Trent Dilfer. So it can be done. But, you know, like I said, I just wonder, you know, if there's no way they can get to a shootout. So maybe a little bit of the Chargers model mixed with the Baltimore Ravens defense, you know, that could actually be a good recipe for success. So number one, I got the Broncos. Number two, I agree with you as far as with the Chiefs. I like them at number two. Number three, I like the Patriots as well. I like the Seahawks as well. They had a pretty good game. Number four, Patriots. Like I said, they're 5-1. Who would have thought they'd been 5-1? I'm pretty sure we can't name three receivers or top three receivers on that team. Past Julian Edelman. That's probably the only one. Danny and Amendola's. I think he's still hurt. So how is he doing it with kind of smoke and mirrors with Tom Brady? And then I'm going to give a lot of love to your Saints at the number five position. They actually lost by the last place, so they definitely deserve recognition as far as being in the top five for sure.
Absolutely.
Robert just listens in. Keeping it moving. Let's keep talking about some stuff in the NFL. And as you know, injuries are definitely an unfortunate cause of the game. There's been a lot of injuries for a lot of key positions. I know my Falcons have been in that predicament right now. But now it looks like Randall Cobb for the Packers is going to be out 68 weeks with a broken fibula. I guess the question is, do we think it's going to affect the Packers' offense? You still have Aaron Rodgers there, so I don't think it's going to affect it that much. I'm sure they can plug in certain players, but I think they'll take a slight step, but they're still going to be pretty explosive as long as you have Aaron Rodgers commanding that particular offense.
Well, I would have to agree with you there. I mean, you still have Aaron Rodgers. You still have Jordan Nelson. You still have James Jones at the receiver position. You still have Jermichael Finley. And a much-improved running game, too, requires it's kept. You get Eddie Lacy back. He goes for over 100-something yards this past weekend against the Ravens. So you got a little bit of depth at the running back position. Mike McCarthy seems to be committing to it a little bit more. And so I think offensively this team will still be okay. There will still be a tough out. And I think offensively they're definitely going to still be okay. They got a good win on the road this past weekend, going to Baltimore and getting the win 19-17. So they're starting to show that they can be a little bit of a physical offense as opposed to just a finesse offense. And so I think they're still going to be okay offensively.
Yeah, I think that a running game is a quarterback's best friend, Rob. So, definitely that's why I think Mike McCarthy's figuring that out. I mean, not that he didn't know that, but it's just good to kind of keep, protect Aaron Rodgers a little bit. We know that he's a dynamic, passer right now. So whatever little things you can do to kind of keep him upright and kind of protect him, I think it's a good idea. They invested pretty heavily drafting two running backs, obviously with James Franklin from UCLA, and also Eddie Lacy, obviously they're the number one pick from Alabama. So, the goal is they're going to try to figure out a running way. They kind of hedge their bets in their Robins, select the two running backs in case one doesn't be successful. They got to get a backup. But, obviously it's a good thing that they had to make some adjustments. I guess the next phase for them is to maybe move forward and definitely continue to get some more weapons for Aaron Rodgers and continue to expand that offense. Now, defensively, they have not been playing as well, so that's something that I think that they would definitely have to address. But for now, offensively, they're still pretty much a top team for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, we are moving right along. Let's kind of talk about some other things here. I want to throw the numbers out as always, just to kind of get some feedback from our guests, from our fans, all that good jazz. The number called the show. Once again, as always, it's 424-243-9519. We always invite you guys to call in and give us your thoughts. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, as mentioned, our Twitter, it's at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and also Facebook. We talked about it at facebook.com/12manSports and talking sports with the 12th man. So 15 minutes here, almost 16 minutes to go. We're still kind of keeping it in the NFL, and if you are a Raiders fan, Rob, I think you're pretty excited about we talked about this a little bit last week about the progression of Terrell Pryor, and then he's kind of struggling right now. And that's something that can be expected. He's a young quarterback, so he's going to have his ups and downs. So what do you think about the decision as far as the Raiders kind of sticking with him despite his struggles? I'm going to say I think it's a good move because, I'm a big fan of, that's how you get better, figuring out certain things. People are going to start getting adjusted to your game, so you can literally help yourself and get you to the next level. But I think it's a good move right now because I don't think they have another backup plan as it is. They got rid of Matt Flynn, Matt Flynn ends up, I think he got signed by the Buffalo Bills. So that guy keeps getting opportunities to still stick with certain teams, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, the Raiders have to stick with Terrell Pryor. I think it definitely will be too soon to give up on him right now. I know he struggled this past week against the Chiefs, but right now the Chiefs have one of the better defenses in the league. If not the best, they may be the second best defense in the NFL right now. So for a young quarterback to go on the road in a tough stadium, in a tough environment against a very good defense, I think you still want to continue to give him the opportunities to succeed. I thought last week prior to the Chiefs games, he had a phenomenal game. And so he's going to have a lot of ebb and flows right now as a young quarterback, second year in the league, first year starting. I think the potential is there. And I think if you're the Raiders, both the coaching staff, general manager, and the fans, you got to be a little bit patient with them. And I believe he's your guy right now.
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of the games, too. So, you know, I'm kind of figuring out what's a good start for him because we talked about, you know, you definitely want to surround – anytime you have a young quarterback, Rob, you want to surround him with a pretty, you know, solid running game, a good mix of veterans to kind of keep him moving. So we'll see how the Raiders will continue to progress. There is no Al Davis, obviously, so we'll see how that will continue to take shape. Whether they're going to continue to draft some weapons or they're going to kind of switch to becoming more of a ball control type of team. So we'll definitely keep that in mind as they continue to progress, sir.
Absolutely.
Moving right along, let's talk about the Cowboys. They suffered some pretty big injuries as well. They ended up losing DeMarcus Ware, you know, from Troy here, and DeMarco Murray, man. So the D-Marks are getting hit there, but I guess the question is, are they going to be okay? DeMarcus Ware switching up. He hasn't been getting that many sacks in Monty Kiffin's defense. There's been a little switch, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out as he becomes more familiar with that. I think it's a huge loss for the Cowboys, both of these players, because they were making significant impacts, especially DeMarco Murray. He was doing kind of coming into his own, Rob, as a running back in that system, too. I think this is a huge blow for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's going to be tough for them to go on the road and beat Philly this weekend without those two players. And I think Nick Foles has got the hot hand right now for Philadelphia. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. And he's got the vertical passing game as well. And so I definitely think, you know, I think this is a win for the Eagles at home this weekend. And I think, you know, without Dallas, without DeMarco Murray, without DeMarcus Ware, I think it's going to hurt them a little bit here. I like the Eagles in the close one to pull this one out. Whereas I think if you had Ware and Murray, you know, to give the Cowboys an opportunity. But I think they're going to miss those two players this week. I like the Eagles.
Yeah, and you talk about another team that's been making a lot of strides, man, in that you talk about a quarterback controversy. What's going on with Nick Foles, man? Is he going to kind of upseat Michael Vick? Because right now he played phenomenally, getting a lot of his weapons involved, Brett Selton, a lot of the tight ends. That was just an incredible game for Nick Foles. What do you think about that real quick as we get ready to transition here?
Well, I believe this. I believe if Michael Vick is healthy, he still is the best quarterback for that Chip Kelly's offense for what he wants to do. You know, Chip Kelly wants a versatile quarterback who can run and pass. But I'll tell you this, the one thing that Nick Foles does well that Michael Vick does not do well is throw the deep vertical pass. And Nick Foles throws it accurately. And so I think, you know, that's the one element that Foles will give you that Vick doesn't give you. Not that Vick can't throw the ball far, but he doesn't throw the ball far and accurate. Nick Foles can throw the deep pass and throw it accurately as well. And I think that's the one thing he gives you over Michael Vick. But I think overall, Vick is still better suited for that offense and what Chip Kelly wants to do with the spread. You know, having a mobile quarterback, that's what Chip Kelly is looking for. And so I think overall, but only if Vick is healthy. If he's not healthy, then Nick Foles is your guy.
That's a very astute observation, Robin. I agree with you. Just, you know, Nick Foles has been playing phenomenal. But, yeah, Vick should be. He has the capability of kind of being the man. But like you said, if he's not healthy, it just doesn't look good. This is a pretty sensitive subject here. Let's kind of talk about some options here as far as, you know, players and fans. And you know, back in the day, there was a certain situation where Michael Irvin got hurt. He got booed by the Philadelphia. They were cheering Philadelphia. And it didn't sit well with me in that instance, just because, you know, this is somebody's livelihood. You know, you never want to see anybody get hurt. But this is the thing. I mean, you know, whenever players get injured and all that good jazz, there's definitely something that I don't think it should be shared. I know, like, we're talking about the incident, obviously, with Matt Schaub. You know, he ends up getting hurt, and you know, the fans started cheering, and they literally had to bring in my backup quarterback. The backup quarterback is always a famous person on teams where he has to play. There's a reason why he's a backup. So, you know, T.J. Yates got in there, you know, struggled a little bit. He ended up doing the same thing. Matt Schaub, I think he threw an interception. I think he threw at least two. And then I want to say he won, ended up running back for a touchdown. So, you know, just kind of a tough situation for Houston right now. But I don't think fans should boo, cheer. I think you would put cheer in there when they get injured, because I think it's a definite, it's an unfortunate situation. Like I said before, these guys are putting their livelihood out there. You know, Are You Not Entertained comes to mind as far as that back in the days in Gladiator. And just want to get your thoughts about the situation as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's uncalled for. You don't boo an injured player. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, not good sports etiquette. You do not cheer an injured player. I don't care how bad the player is playing. You do not boo an injured player. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. But on another note, what has happened to the Houston Texans? I mean, this is a team that was supposed to be contending for the division, contending for a Super Bowl. This team has lost four in a row. I mean, they don't look like anything like the playoff team that they've been the last couple of years. I mean, this team looked like they're heading for the top five, top ten picks in the draft this year. Andre, where's my fellow co-host?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute, man. I apologize with that. I apologize. I'm sitting here talking. This is what I was going to say. I definitely agree with you when it comes to as far as certain things with Houston. You know, definitely shocking as far as that they're not able to you know, be the same team. And I think the situation where their defense is playing well, Rob, so I don't think it's a defensive thing. I definitely think whenever you have turnovers, Rob, that's what happens. You know, if you keep giving up pick sixes and, you know, turn the ball over, I think it's definitely going to affect you. So that's what I think what's going on right now with Houston. They just have been they've made a couple of mistakes as some teams have capitalized, and it's definitely affected how they've been playing. So defense has been playing well, Rob. I got to give the blame to the offense. And unfortunately, I'm not going to go to Matt Schaub's house and protest or anything like that, or even boom if he gets hurt. But I definitely think, you know, you lose as a team, you win as a team, but offensively they haven't been holding up their end of the bargain for sure.
Absolutely. I would definitely have to agree with you there.
I apologize. I put myself on mute to avoid anything, so that's what happened there. So I apologize to all the listeners. We got about 6 minutes here. Let's talk about some predictions here for the NFL. And I know we got to talk about we're going to jump into some college football and some things that happened over the weekend as well, some basketball stuff. But let's talk about some key games or key matchups that are going on next week. Let's talk about Seattle at Arizona. Surprisingly, Rob, it seems like Russell Wilson has been playing decent. He hasn't been going above and beyond. He's just been keeping them in certain games. What do you think about this particular matchup as far as Seattle? I know they haven't been playing that well on the road. That's kind of their kryptonite. But what do you think about that? Are they going to pull it out versus Arizona?
I believe it or not, I like Arizona at home in this game. I think, you know, I saw a good bit of that game with them at San Francisco this past weekend, and I was impressed with Arizona. I thought they had very good opportunities to beat the 49ers in San Fran. And I'm going to say Arizona wins a very close game by field goal and beat Seattle. Seattle, still not the best team on the road, but they're tough to beat at home. I like Arizona to squeak this one out at home.
very interesting matchup, Cincinnati at Detroit. So Detroit's been playing – Detroit seems kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish. Cincinnati, they have a pretty dynamic defense. You know, they've got some young backs, so they're trying to play a lot right now. But what do you think about this particular matchup as well?
I'm going to go with the home team here as well. I mean, I like the Lions. I believe they're 4-2 at the moment. I think both of these teams are 4-2.
And
I think both of them are playing pretty solid football. I'm going to say the Lions also by field goal, win the squeaker.
Wow, keeping it moving. Let's talk about another pretty big game, Denver at Indianapolis. And, you know, this is what we were waiting for. You had some interesting talk as far as if the Colts should roll out the red carpet to Peyton Manning. You know, he's been the face of that franchise for a minute. You got a brand new person with Andrew Luck taking over. You know, this may be an emotional game. Do you think that the Colts can actually pull an upset due to, you know, Peyton Manning being emotional in this particular game?
I'm going to say the Colts upsets. I'm going to go with the Colts in this game. I think the Colts and their fan base will be pumped for this game. I think this may be the loudest the crowd is going to be all season for the Colts. I think you're going to see the Broncos lose their first game this week. I think you're going to see Peyton Manning throw a couple of picks in this game, too.
Wow, America, you heard it here first. Rob is actually predicting that the Colts are going to upset the Denver Broncos based upon a lot of situations that's going on right now. So very, very, very big. Like I said, I'm not quite ready to make that prediction, but, man, that's going to be phenomenal. I think that could actually happen. Got about 4 minutes here. Let's keep it moving here. I want to talk briefly, Rob, about 3 minutes here. Let's talk briefly real quick about some basketball here. Obviously, if you've been under Rock, you know that Andrew Wiggins ended up the number one high school recruit, decided to pick Kansas. And they are primed right now to have a phenomenal season. Do you think they're going to win the Big 12 title? With Kansas and or Oklahoma State. I want to get your thoughts about this before we jump into some college football talk.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kansas. Andrew Wiggins is the best young player to enter college basketball since Kevin Durant. He's got that kind of potential. And so I'm going to go with Kansas. They have a little bit more depth. Oklahoma State's got Marcus Smart, a tremendous point guard, should be the number one point guard in the draft. These two players may be 1 and 2 in the draft next year, and they're all both going to be in the Big 12. So it's going to be real interesting. Marcus Smart decided to come back to school, a tremendous asset. It's going to be great when these two teams play against each other. The rest of the Big 12 is going to be really down this year in college basketball. Baylor might be the only other team that's going to make it to the NCAA tournament this year out of the Big 12. And by the way, America, the Big 12 only has 10 teams. So it's crazy as that sounds, but they only have 10 teams in the conference. But Baylor might be the only other team that's going to make it, and they'll be a distant third behind Kansas and Oklahoma State.
The Big 12 team is the Big 12 got 10 teams. I love it. Rob, Senator, for the OT portion, we've got about a minute 40-something seconds here, so I'm going to get that out of the way, my friend.
Well, certainly. We certainly appreciate all of you all tuning in to our show tonight. Basketball lovers, fantasy basketball players, send us your email addresses. We got 3 spots remaining in our fantasy basketball league. Our draft is coming up on next Tuesday night. So definitely send us your emails. If you want to compete with the pros, join us on next Tuesday night. We'll be right back at our same time, same channel, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaii. Aloha to our Hawaii friends. Join us on next Tuesday night. Once again, like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Yeah, that's right. I love it, man. Fantasy basketball is right around the corner. So as Rob mentioned, man, we always do a good job in all phases. So definitely send us those emails. We'll get you signed up for that. I definitely want to give a couple shout-outs to some folks that always show us some love. Mario, continue, man. I appreciate that, showing us some love. As well as Tony. We appreciate some thoughts from him. But, yeah, that's what it's all about. We're going to keep moving in the OT portion. You can't listen to it live. You can archive it. You can listen to it on your way to work. Just click on the same link, and you'll get a chance to listen to us, make your options. But that's what it's all about. OT portion is about to start. We're going to kick off into our college football. We'll go from there for sure. Any last thoughts, Rob?
Good night, people. Join us on next Tuesday night. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Good night, people.
Good night, people. All right. We are making strides. We are officially into the OT portion of the show. And we are going to keep it moving. And I guess, Rob, it's a good time to kind of kick it off and talk about some college football. A lot of upsets this past weekend. Stanford going down to Utah. You had Georgia getting upset by Missouri. Well, I don't even know if that's an upset, Rob. I want to talk about that, too. But anything that kind of stood out for you this past weekend, a big win for you guys. LSU goes into Florida. They're able to pull it out. Florida looks like they've got some challenges scoring the ball. Their defense is pretty dynamic, but it is still seems to be like there's some challenges with that. And I do want to talk about, kind of closer to home. Were you surprised about Missouri coming in there playing? I mean, I didn't think that I know they were kind of building their athletes, but I didn't think they were, they were going to actually go into – I know Georgia had a lot of injuries, but I wasn't expecting them to kind of go in there and do what they did to Georgia. I don't know if you had a chance to kind of get some feedback as far as that.
Well, yeah, that was definitely a shock and, very shocking. I did not expect that at all. I know Missouri was undefeated coming in, but I still thought they did that against a weak schedule, and I didn't quite think they had the players that Georgia have. And, I tell you what, Gary Pinkel had an incredible game plan. You know, he pulled everything out, and a lot of these things worked. And, sometimes those are the most dangerous teams. And he pulled out all the stops, and they had an impressive win on the road against Georgia. And now you got to really say that this Missouri team has a really good chance of winning the SEC this year now. It's as shocking as that sounds.
Well, right now, I don't want to go too far because, James Franklin, he's kind of hurting that game, so they say they're estimating he may be out 3 to 5 weeks. But like I said, if you would have said that, him losing, Missouri losing James Franklin, I would have definitely thought, oh, yeah, Georgia's got this wrapped up. But, like you said, a great game plan by Gary Pinkel, I'm thinking of something else. And you got to give them credit as far as, just the way they played, and this team is definitely on the rise. They're undefeated. So if you're a Mizzou fan, you definitely have to like the direction of the program. And like you said, they could be a contender definitely within the SEC East for sure.
Absolutely. They're all alone in SEC East first place right now.
Yep. I want to talk about another school, another game that happened this weekend too. And I lost my train of thought here. I do want to talk real quick. The Red River rivalry, and that Texas just did their thing, Rob. They were able to pull it out versus Oklahoma. You know how I felt about Oklahoma. I'm not the biggest Bob Stoops fan because I think he kind of crumbles during big games. But I guess the question I want to ask you, Texas dominated. They're undefeated in the Big 12 right now in their conference. Did this win happen to change anything, or did you change your thoughts about Mack Brown right now, Rob? I mean, they play well to kind of save the coach, in your opinion?
Well, I think if Texas keeps playing like that through the rest of the season, maybe going a long winning streak, I think, it's hard to fire a guy after, closing the season really strong. So I think he at least deserves a shot to keep his job through the end of the season and get reevaluated here. I mean, that was an impressive win for Texas. I thought, if you really looked at that game, Texas just controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They were more physical than Oklahoma, which is usually not the case when these two teams meet. Usually Oklahoma was just, they just totally were out physical, the Longhorns, but not this year. The Longhorns, they just punched the Sooners right in the mouth on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They were a more physical team, and it showed up on the scoreboard.
Yeah, like I said, I was impressed with the way that they were able to play full line of scrimmage. Like we talked about, I'm not sure if it did enough to save Mack Brown, but just the total domination right now from Texas. So, this is kind of the situation. I think that it's like, where has this team been? I mean, why did they wait till the Red River Robin kind of turned up? They should have been turning it up for the whole season. I don't know. It's very, very interesting with that.
But they just started to turn it up a notch here in the last couple of weeks. So, after the last loss, they've been impressive. And so now you're starting to see a different Texas team.
Gotcha. We will keep moving. All right, let's talk about anything, any other games that you want to highlight. You know, were you kind of surprised also to hear about Stanford losing to Utah? I mean, that's no disrespect. I've got, like, family in Utah, too. But, you know, I don't know what happened. I mean, did they were able to play a pretty good game. And I do want to talk about Oregon, too, because that's a tough team. That's a phenomenal team, too. But, you know, what happened to Stanford as far as getting upset by Utah?
Well, we were just talking about the physicality of the game and the Texas-Oklahoma matchup. And I think, you know, if you saw this game, too, it was basically the same thing, you know. And, you know, Stanford, when you think of Stanford, you're thinking maybe they got a dynamic passing game or they're, you know, they're a real finesse team. But in actuality, I mean, their bread and butter has been, you know, how physical people. I mean, their physicality has been tough. They run the ball down your throat, strong defensive line, strong offensive line. But, you know, they didn't bring their physical game to Utah. Utah punched them in the mouth and were more physical than Stanford, which is usually what Stanford's strength is. And Utah just beat them at their own game. They were more physical. They ran the ball. They controlled the clock. And a total surprising game. I mean, it just I think you're going to see Stanford rebound this week.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think just, you know, maybe they got caught in a bad situation like we talked about. You know, Utah, physical team, they're able to kind of go in there and kind of assert their will. And definitely, you know, obviously by the time they decided to get the rolling, you know, it's a little too late. But, you know, it is what it is. Keep it moving. Let's talk about some college. Oh, one more game I want to point out, Oregon. And you're talking about a team that is looking fantastic. What are your thoughts on Oregon? I mean, right now, you know, Oregon looks to be, like, right up there. I mean, they were without DeAnthony Thomas. They were without one of their top, you know, receiving threats. And they were still able to score a ton of points. What do you think about Oregon? Are they the team that could possibly beat Alabama? What do you think about that?
Well, if you ask me, Alabama and Oregon is 1A and 1B. I think they're right there with each other right now. And I think Marcus Mariota is the Heisman Trophy winner at this point in the season. He's been phenomenal quarterback in that team, both with the running and passing game. And I think he is the Heisman winner as of right now. Obviously, there's a lot of football left to be played. But I do think Alabama and Oregon are the two best teams in the country at the moment. And I think they're very close. I don't think Alabama is that much ahead of Oregon, if they are ahead of Oregon. I mean, I really feel that way. And, I mean, a lot of people don't realize how good Washington is. Oregon went on the road and whipped them. And Keith Price was the better quarterback in the country, quarterback for Washington. And Oregon just made it look easy. I like this team a lot. Like I said, I think Marcus Mariota is the Heisman winner at this point in the year. Andre, you there again?
I'm still here. Ooh, I keep hitting mute. I apologize, man. I got to stop hitting mute. I'm trying to hit mute and pull everything back, and I apologize. Man, let's keep moving. I promise, folks. I'm like hitting mute to make sure I'm not saying anything. Let's talk about some more predictions, Rob.
You're slacking on us tonight, America.
I'm hitting mute because I'm trying to not talk because I'm so excited. Let's talk about some college football predictions, Rob. Coming up, you got number 22 Florida at the aforementioned Missouri. What do you think about this game, Rob? Missouri, I know they don't have James Franklin right now. What do you think about this option? Do you think I think that this is a game where Missouri can actually still come through and make a good impression. I hope they don't put too much in the Georgia win. I think they can pull this off only because I think that they have some pretty good coaching for Missouri. I don't know. This is what I'm thinking right now. I'm curious for your thoughts.
Well, I like Missouri in this game. They're at home, even without Franklin.
Yeah.
Both of these teams are playing with their backup quarterback. Florida's having trouble scoring. I mean, obviously they're dynamic on defense. And Missouri, I think Pinkel's going to get it just enough. And I think Missouri is underrated on defense, too. And I like it. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm thinking 3 to 7 points. I like Missouri at home.
Good thing. Let's talk about the next. Now, I think we put Auburn at somebody. I'm not sure. It's 24,
at
number
at
7.
Texas
so.
A&M, yeah.
Texas A&M. So this is a pretty good game, too. I'm actually gonna pick Texas A&M in this instance because they're playing at home. I know that Auburn's playing pretty pretty good football, but I think Texas A&M is going to be able to pull this off.
I agree, but I do. It's a borrow line from Lee Corso. I think it's going to be closer than the experts think.
I agree.
I think Texas A&M is going to definitely win at home. I think it's going to be about a 10-point victory. But, you know, I know a lot of people think this might be a rout, but I actually like the way Auburn is playing. They're really competitive. I think Gus Malzahn has really got them playing at, you know, better than what a lot of people thought they were going to be this year. I mean, Auburn was predicted to be near the bottom of the SEC West. And obviously, there's still a lot of football to be played, but they're playing really tough football, really good football.
I agree. I'm going to stop putting myself on mute. Let's talk about number 9, UCLA at number 13, Stanford. This is a pretty, pretty big game. I'm kind of torn. I'm kind of leaning towards UCLA only because of the fact they're playing well. But I like Stanford at home because of the fact that they could be a little upset as far as what happened at Utah. So I may give a slight edge to Stanford in this particular example, in this particular game. Like I said, only because of the fact that circumstances, and I think Stanford may be a little upset as far as that game last week versus Utah.
Yeah, I like Stanford to rebound here as well, but I think it's going to be close. I'm thinking, I know I've been using this term a lot, 3 points, but I'm going to go with 3 points again. I think it's going to be a close game. Wouldn't even be surprised if it goes to overtime. I like Stanford in a close one. I think they're going to rebound. David Shaw's going to have those guys ready. And I think it's going to be a physical game, but I like Stanford at home.
This is a big, big game in the ACC. I know we don't say that a lot, too, but number 5, FSU, at number 3, Clemson. Now, this is a very, very big test for the freshman, Jameis Winston. He's playing at a pretty hostile crowd in Clemson. This is why I'm going to predict Clemson to win this game because – you know, I think Jameis is playing phenomenal. He's been definitely, from your ex-guy, LSU, Jimbo Fisher was able to he's good at recruiting quarterbacks, Rob. But I think in this instance, I think his experience is going to definitely come into play. I think that environment at Clemson is going to, you know, kind of affect him. I like Clemson in this particular game.
I would agree with you, too, and, I hate to be repetitive. I'm saying 3 points again here, America. I'm going to go 38-35 Clemson in the shootout at home. They just narrowly beat Florida State. And, I think this could be a tough one for Winston on the road. I think he's still going to have a good game, though. But I think, you know, he's a very impressive freshman. You know, he calls the blocking schemes at the line of scrimmage. He'll call, you know, audibles from a bad play to a good play. And I think he's a very impressive freshman. But I do like Clemson to squeak this one out. Once again, I apologize for keep saying 3 points, but that's just the way I feel about a lot of these games tonight.
Rob, you're fine. I apologize for putting myself on mute so many times, man. I'm over here, like, putting myself on mute, and I'm thinking I'm talking. I'm not. So I apologize about that, too, America. Anyway, let's end this. We got about 2 minutes, sir. Let's go ahead and talk about next week and how I won't be myself moving forward, too. Thanks, sir.
Well, we were in the heart of college football. We're in the heart of the NFL season in America, so we're going to have a lot more of that to talk about on next week's show. So make sure you join us. We're going to start squeaking in some NBA previews here in the next few weeks as the season is tipping off, I believe, on the 29th of October, if I'm not mistaken, Tuesday the 29th, so exactly 2 weeks from tonight. So we're going to start squeezing in some previews and getting into a little college basketball here as well. So you don't want to miss it. Same time, same channel, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. And that's Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. for our listeners in Germany. So we hope you all will join us. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. Any closing remarks, Dre?
No, I just want to appreciate everyone for listening. Like I said, I can't emphasize, we had a good time. We always enjoy listening to you. So any feedback that you guys have, definitely let us know. That's what it's all about. Other than that, we thank you guys, and we will see you next Tuesday, same time, same channel, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Good night, people.
Send us email address so we can send you fantasy basketball invites, America. Don't miss out on it.
Yeah. Yes, I got to definitely.
Three spots to go,
please.
People.
Please send that out, too. Yeah, that's a good plug, too, as we get ready to wrap up, too. We definitely want to get that moving for fantasy basketball. We'll do some fun things with that. Maybe we'll do some Survivor League. We always have fun NFL fantasy football too, or fantasy basketball, excuse me. So we're having fun with that, and we're also having fun with fantasy football. We'll see you guys next time. Good night, people.
Good night, America.